Turn, if you please, to our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 13 to 20 as we finish up our series called Why. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 13. Paul writes, "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for Your Word. I just thank You so much for Easter Sunday. I just thank You for that victory that You won over sin and death completely and totally. I pray that You would just show us what that means for us today. Lord, how we can be living with You and living for You and living with You forever. I pray You'd come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray You'd open Your Word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen.
The morning of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the grave carrying aromats that she had prepared. She found out with surprise that the stone had been removed.
Why are you looking for the living among the dead?
Rabboni.
Go tell my brothers, they must go to Galilee. There they will see me. Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father.
That clip was taken from a movie simply called The Savior, showing the greatest miracle in the history of all time, space, and dimension, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead on that first Easter Sunday. But the question is, why did that happen? Jesus wanted to see Loyola play in the Final Four? The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of Christianity. The Apostles' Creed says on the third day He rose again from the dead. But the question is why? If that song is right, it is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Why did Jesus have to rise from the dead on top of everything else? The text we have in front of us this morning tells us why. We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a really short series for Lent just called Why? Simply looking at why Jesus suffered and died and rose again from the dead. So far in this series, we've looked at why Jesus died on the cross and everything that's necessary for us to be saved by Jesus. And why Jesus was buried in the tomb, something that's absolutely critical for us to live for Jesus. And today we finish this series by looking at why Jesus rose from the dead, something that's absolutely critical for us to live with Jesus forever. And to see that, we turn this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 13 to 20. After the Apostle Paul planted a church in the city of Corinth on his second missionary journey, false teachers snuck in and started telling people that Christian believers were never going to be resurrected from the dead. And in our text today, Paul says, if Christians aren't resurrected, that means Jesus wasn't resurrected either. And everything about Christianity goes right down the drain. But the Holy Spirit says today that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, and for exactly the same reasons that Paul gives us here. Our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 to 20, tells us three simple reasons why Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Jesus Christ rose from the dead was to guarantee our salvation. To guarantee, verse 17, that our sins really have been paid for. Now, Easter Sunday this year falls on April Fool's Day. And critics say, how appropriate, because Christians are fools for believing that Jesus Christ really rose from the dead. But no, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just a story like Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail, because it's actual, undisputed, undeniable historical fact. And there's all kinds of evidence to prove it. Folks, that first Easter Sunday, Jesus' tomb in the city of Jerusalem was absolutely empty. And not even Jesus' enemies denied that. And Jesus never signed the back of his driver's license or donated his body to science either. You say, well, Kevin, none of us were around to see Jesus rise from the dead. None of us were around to see George Washington become first president of the United States either. So how do we know that George Washington was really the first president? Historical documentation and eyewitness accounts. How do we know that Jesus Christ really rose from the dead? Historical documentation and eyewitness accounts. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 through 8 says, after Jesus rose from the dead, he was seen by over 515 different people. So Jesus rose physically, and not just symbolically or spiritually in people's hearts and minds. And Jesus wasn't just Casper the Friendly Ghost, because Acts chapter 1 verse 3 says after the resurrection, he spent 40 days giving all kinds of convincing proof that he really was alive. And it wasn't just because the disciples had too many marshmallow peeps. And it wasn't because the disciples were hallucinating. Because hallucinations don't eat or drink or make filet-o-fish sandwiches like Jesus did. Jesus even let the disciples touch the wounds on his body. And hallucinations only consist of things that people are already thinking about. And sadly enough, the disciples weren't thinking about Jesus' resurrection any more than a man in the moon. People, Jesus Christ really rose from the dead. And every single attempt to try to explain it away doesn't even pass the smell test. Well, Kevin, Jesus' people, they just went to the wrong tomb. No. Because if they had of, all the Jewish leaders had to do was go to the right tomb, pull Jesus' body out, parade it through the streets of Jerusalem, and Christianity would have been over before it ever started. But they never did that. Well, Kevin, Jesus really wasn't dead in the tomb to start with then. He just got out on his own. Seriously? Jesus Christ moved a 2-ton rock from the inside all by himself, after being sleep-deprived, beaten and whipped to within an inch of his life, stabbed in the heart with a spear, and nailed to a cross for 6 hours. Piece of cake. Well, Kevin, the disciples, they stole the body. How? Roman soldiers were the Navy SEALs of the ancient world. And Jesus' tomb was guarded by a custodia, Matthew 27:65. 32 Roman soldiers, 4 different shifts, 8 soldiers each. So they were always on alert. And yet scared rabbit disciples went all Ninja Turtle and did a beatdown on those Roman soldiers and stole Jesus' body. Don't make me laugh. And folks, if the soldiers had stolen Jesus' body and Jesus really was dead, there's an even greater miracle. Because that means 11 wimpy disciples who morphed into Billy Graham preachers and turned the world upside down still chose to sacrifice their lives, to give up their very lives for a dead man that they knew had lied to them. People, nobody, and I mean nobody, dies for what they know is a lie. Last March the 7th, explorers in the Gilbert Islands found the bones of a woman that they believe was Amelia Earhart, 81 years after she disappeared in 1937 trying to fly around the world, finally solving the mystery of what happened to her. But you know what? To this day, nobody has ever found the bones of Jesus Christ. And they never will. And you know why? Because on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Period. End of sentence. End of discussion. The reason Jesus Christ rose from the dead was to guarantee that our sins were paid for. Because verse 17 here says, if there is no resurrection, we are still in our sin. The Bible tells us over and over again, the resurrection is necessary for our salvation. Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Christ was raised for our justification. Well, Kevin, didn't Jesus' death on the cross pay the price for our sin? Yeah. Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for our sin, but it was the resurrection that finally canceled out the total penalty of our sin, which is death. So Jesus never really conquered sin until Jesus totally conquered death when he rose again from the dead. No controversy, no cover-up, no scandal, no Stormy Daniels. Salvation guaranteed. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb on the first Easter Sunday. And all the archaeological evidence proves it too. There are five different places in the world today where people claim that Jesus was buried after he died. And the first three are just silly. Ahmadiyya Muslims in northern India and Kashmir claim that to escape being crucified, Jesus moved to northern India, lived out the rest of his life, died, and was buried there in a shrine called Raza Bagh. But all the rest of the Muslims in the world realize that claim is just a joke. A religious cult in Japan claims that to keep from being crucified, Jesus moved to Japan and got married and died at the age of 106 and was buried in a town called Shingo. Back in 2007, Hollywood director James Cameron claimed that Jesus was buried in a tomb in Talpiot, south of Jerusalem, about 3 miles. But turns out that tomb is even more bogus than Al Capone's vault. Now, one of the real possibilities is a stone-cut limestone tomb encased in a metal vault under an old shrine inside of an old church in Jerusalem, a church called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, sepulchre or burial chamber. The Bible says that Jesus was crucified on a hill called the Place of the Skull, and then he was buried in a tomb that was close by in a garden. And in 325 AD, Roman Emperor Constantine sent officials to the city of Jerusalem to look for holy sites. And locals pointed them to this tomb, and it even had a cross carved in one of the walls. And the locals said that was the place where Jesus was buried. So Constantine built a church over it. 1099, the Muslims destroyed it. 1148, the Christians built it up again. And it's gone through dozens and dozens of renovations all throughout the years, constantly trying to shore up the foundation underneath that tomb. And especially in the last 2 years, when workers opened up that metal vault for the first time since 1555 and saw the cross that was carved in that wall, and also a limestone bench where tradition says Jesus' body would have laid. Now, the other real possibility is called the Garden Tomb, or Gordon's Tomb. In 1883, a British explorer named General Charles Gordon was also looking for holy sites in the city of Jerusalem. And he saw a rocky hill that looked like a human skull, the Place of the Skull. And nearby, he found a tomb that was from ancient times, that had once, at one time, been a part of a garden. And other locals told him that is where Jesus was buried. And there's even a trench in front of the door where a round stone would have been rolled in order to seal off the entrance. So Jesus Christ could have been buried in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, or he could have been buried in the Garden Tomb. But either way, here's the kicker. Both of those tombs are as empty and as bare today as Mother Hubbard's cupboard. And you know why? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ rose from the dead to guarantee that our sins were paid for. The first reason why Jesus Christ rose from the dead was to guarantee our salvation. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why Jesus rose from the dead. Not only to guarantee our salvation, but to also guarantee that Christianity is true. The resurrection proves that Jesus Christ really is the person that he said he is. Over and over again in the Old Testament, God said that Jesus would die and rise again from the dead, like in Psalm 16:10. Jesus said over and over again that he would die and rise again from the dead, like in Mark 8:31. And people, who does that? Who goes around saying that they're going to die and 3 days later they're going to come back to life? Because it's not exactly like saying you're going to get married someday or you're taking deviled eggs to your sister's house for Easter dinner. Talk about calling a shot. Before Harry Houdini died on Halloween 1926, he told all kinds of people that after he died, he would contact them from the great beyond. So every year now, on the anniversary of Harry Houdini's death, people all over the world hold seances to try to hear what Harry Houdini has to say. But 91 years now and counting, not one single peep out of the guy. And I wouldn't be holding my breath either. But Jesus Christ not only said He'd rise on the third day, He actually did it. Jesus said that He was God. Jesus said that He was the Son of God. Jesus said that He was the Savior of the world. Jesus said He was the only Savior of the world. John chapter 14, verse 6. And if Jesus Christ was right about raising Himself from the dead for crying out loud, you can bet the farm He was right about everything else He said too. The resurrection proves Jesus really is the person He says He is. The resurrection proves that Christianity is the only one true faith. Now, all people who think realize that all religions can't be the same or coexist because all religions contradict each other. Christians believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Muslims don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead because they believe Allah took Jesus up to heaven so He wouldn't even be crucified. The Jews believe that the disciples just made up the story of Jesus' resurrection. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus rose again, only not physically with the body, just spiritually. I could go on and on. So, which faith system is the right one? Well, which faith system has a founder who died and rose again from the dead to prove that what he said was true? Well, let's see. Muhammad, the father of Islam, died in 632 AD and is buried in Medina in Saudi Arabia, and he's still dead. Gautama Buddha, the founder of Buddhism, died in 479 BC and his ashes were scattered over all seven continents. And he's still dead. Joseph Smith, the father of Mormonism, died in 1844 and is buried in a cemetery in Nauvoo, Illinois. And he's still dead. Confucius, the father of Confucianism, died in 483 BC and he's buried in a cemetery in Khufu, China. And he's still dead. I could go on and on. And Jesus Christ died in 33 B.C., but 3 days later, He came back to life. So let me ask you, you going to believe a dead man who in a dusty old grave? Are you going to believe in the only man who rose up out of a grave and lives forever? No other religion has a God who claimed to be a man who came to became a man. Jesus did. No other religion has a God who died for sinners, but Jesus did. No other religion has a God who saves people by grace, but Jesus did. No other religion has a God who claimed He would rise from the dead, but Jesus did. No other religion has a God who actually did rise from the dead, but Jesus did. Christianity is the only faith system in the whole wide world that has a risen Savior and an empty tomb. Don't tell me that Christianity isn't the only one true faith. Verses 14 to 19. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that Christianity is worth it. If you've ever had your doubts. Because without the resurrection, Christianity is nothing more than rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. Verse 14, Christians, our preaching and teaching is worth it. Because whenever we tell people about Jesus, the living Jesus Christ uses it to touch people's hearts and to change their lives. I got this email just a couple of weeks ago. Dear Pastor Garner, I live in Quincy, Illinois. That's way down there. And just wanted you to know that last January, I bought a toaster at a garage sale here in town. And when I went to use it the first time, there was something in one of the slots. And when I fished it out, it was a CD with a sermon on it by Kevin Garner from Fox River Church in Sheridan, Illinois. And I listened to it. And I want you to know that God used that sermon to get me to quit drinking. And to get me saved because I prayed to have Jesus in my heart because of it too. Just thought you might want to know what a blessing your church's CD ministry is. Signed, Mary D. Quincy, Illinois. What do you know? Maybe all those sermons really aren't just a gigantic waste of time. Verse 18. Because of the resurrection, people who die trusting in Jesus Christ are not lost. They're just pushing up daisies somewhere. The picture you see there on the screen is Otto and Lillian Seidelman, a couple that loved Jesus Christ with all of their heart, died within 1 month of each other, December 2012, January 2013. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they are not lost because we know where they are. They're in heaven with Jesus Christ now. Verse 19, Christians are not stupid for sacrificing the things of this world in order to follow Christ. It's worth it. After Nick Foles, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback, won the Super Bowl this year, he started full-time in seminary, Liberty University, to become a pastor. But for heaven's sakes, why? After you win a Super Bowl, that's the time to sign a billion-dollar contract with another team and really cash in. And I guarantee you, Nick Foles will get a lot more hits pastoring the church than he ever will playing football. So is the guy nuts? No, it's because following Jesus Christ and the plan that He has for your life is worth far more than all the money in the whole wide world. It's worth it, Christians. If there is no resurrection, then those 21 Christian believers on that beach in Libya back in 2015 who chose to be beheaded by ISIS rather than renounce Christ are the biggest suckers in the history of the whole wide world. But Josh McDowell said this, "The resurrection of Jesus Christ is either the greatest fact in all of history or the most wicked, vicious, heartless hoax ever foisted on the minds of people, because it has caused untold millions of Jesus followers to give up the most precious things in this world, even their own lives and priceless relationships with their own family members, in order to serve Christ. But all the facts prove the resurrection is not a hoax, and all those sacrifices are more than worth it for the eternal rewards that come as a result." So those Christians were not saps. They were faithful unto death. And because of that, God gave them a crown of life, something worth far more than the best things in this entire world combined. And all because of the resurrection. All because of Easter. You say, "But Kevin, all that stuff about rabbits and eggs, that's just silly." Wait a minute. Pagans are the ones who added that. Because there is absolutely nothing in the Bible or the resurrection of Jesus Christ about rabbits or eggs. I'm not a zoologist, but I know that rabbits don't lay eggs. Duck-billed platypuses lay eggs. They're the only mammal that does, but you never hear about an Easter duck-billed platypus. And any other day of the year, you get an egg that's purple or green or red, you throw it away because you know it's bad. Real Easter is not about a rabbit named Peter. It's about a Savior named Jesus, crucified for the sins of the world, raised to life by the power of God to destroy all the damage that sin does in people's lives. We know that Christianity is true because Jesus Christ continues to this day to do incredible things in the lives of people, just like Him. For 17 years, Darryl Strawberry is one of the baddest sluggers in all of Major League Baseball. Grew up in Los Angeles, California, number one pick in the 1980 draft by the New York Mets. All the scouts said that he would be great, and he was. 1983 National League Rookie of the Year, 8-time All-Star, helped the New York Mets win the World Series in 1986. So popular with the fans, companies were making Darryl Strawberry action figures for kids. But Darryl Strawberry's personal life was an absolute mess. Grew up with a dad who drank like a fish and beat the daylights out of it. So all the while he was growing up, he started drinking and drugging too to cover up the pain. Darryl Strawberry smoked every weed, popped every pill, snorted every powder known to mankind, and was so good at baseball for years it never once affected his performance on the field. But in 1987, he beat up his first wife and she divorced him, and he had to go to rehab for the first time. And the Mets got so tired of him in 1990, they released him. He signed with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Back in L.A. in his old stomping grounds, he started smoking crack and even hired prostitutes to come into the clubhouse so he could have sex between innings during baseball games. That's how out of control that man was. 1992, he beat up his second wife and got a divorce. Things got even worse and worse and worse. And because of the drugs, he started to miss baseball games. The Dodgers got tired of him and finally released him. So the New York Giants picked him up next. And the drinking and the drugging and the partying continued. Then in 1994, he was found guilty of federal income tax evasion. So the Giants dumped him as well. And then George Steinbrenner gave him another chance in baseball with the New York Yankees. And he helped the Yankees win three World Series, 1996 and 1998 and 1999. But the drinking and the drugging continued. It just got worse and worse. In 1996, he was diagnosed with colon cancer and missed 6 months of chemotherapy. 1999, he started smoking crack again and was arrested for soliciting sex from an undercover cop. 2001, he was suspended for an entire year for violating a mandatory drug test. And ordered to go to rehab for the third time in 10 years. Flunked out of rehab, then served 18 months in a prison in Florida for parole violation. People, you couldn't make this stuff up. Finally, though, after he got out of prison in 2006, he went back to Los Angeles to live with a sister. And what do you know? That sister was a born-again Christian. And that sister got Daryl Strawberry to read the Bible for the very first time in his entire life. And then one day in 2006, Daryl Strawberry got down on his knees, confessed all of his sins, prayed to receive Christ, and got radically saved. And the very nanosecond he got saved, his life totally and completely changed. He saturated himself in the Word of God. All the drinking and the drugging stopped. The Mets hired him as a special instructor to help young players stay away from dope. He became an ordained minister. He married his third wife, a beautiful woman named Terry, born-again Christian. And together, they started the Strawberry Foundation, a ministry that works with young people and tells anybody anywhere that Jesus Christ can set you free and give you a brand new life. People, the Daryl Strawberry that you see today is not the Daryl Strawberry that played Major League Baseball. And why? This is what he said. I had all that pain from the way I grew up and tried to use baseball and drugs and drinking to cover it up. But all it did was hurt a lot of people and destroy my career and destroy my life. But when I turned my life over to Christ, it all changed. It's all about the blood of Jesus, the death He died, and how He rose from the dead to forgive our sins and give us a new life. I am a new me, and all and only because of Jesus. People, a dead Jesus can't do that. Only a living Jesus can do that. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this message. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how much pain you're carrying. I don't care how much pain you may have caused anybody else. What Jesus Christ did for Daryl Strawberry, He can do exactly the same thing for you. Daryl Strawberry is just one of billions of people over the last 2,000 years whose lives have been absolutely transformed by the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. And you know what? You can be next. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old is gone and the new has come. Today, Easter Sunday, you let Jesus Christ do that exact same thing for you. The second reason why Jesus Christ rose from the dead is to guarantee that Christianity is true. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why Jesus rose from the dead. Not only to guarantee salvation, not only to guarantee that Christianity is true, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Third, to guarantee us life. And first of all, life here and now. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Jesus Christ rose from the dead that we might walk in newness of life. People, listen. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how bad you've been hurt or abused or abandoned or dumped on. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ raised Himself from the dead. And if Jesus Christ could do that for Himself, there ain't nothing. There ain't absolutely nothing that He can't do for you. The resurrection proves this is a God who keeps every single one of His promises. This is a God who does every single thing He ever said He was going to do. So when Jesus says, Revelation 21:5, behold, I make all things new, you can take it to the bank. And He'll heal your heart and He will set you free and give you a brand new life if you would just trust Him and give Him a chance. The resurrection guarantees us life after death as well. Today is April Fool's Day. Easter Sunday does fall on April Fool's Day. See the sign? YOLO, LOL, JK, BRB, Jesus. You only live once. Laugh out loud. Just kidding. Be right back, Jesus. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ popped out of that tomb and said, y'all thought I was going to stay dead forever, didn't you? April Fools. Verse 20, Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who fall asleep. During that Jewish festival of first fruits, the first sheaf of wheat would be given to God as a grain offering and as a sign that there was more fruit, more wheat to come. And the festival of first fruits always fell on the first day after the first Sabbath following Passover. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 to 14. When did Jesus rise from the dead? First thing Sunday morning, on the first day after the first Sabbath following Passover. Bingo. Jesus Christ rose from the dead exactly on the festival of first fruits, guaranteeing even more fruit, even more people would be raised from the dead later on. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees our resurrection too. Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 19, because I live, you will live also. Verse 19, our hope is not only for this life. So people, let me ask you this morning, what hope do you have for life after death? And we better be thinking about this, because I'll tell you right now, death is coming. Just like that. 58 people shot to death at a country music festival in Las Vegas. 26 people killed in a little Baptist church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Two men from Austin, Texas, killed when a package left on their front porch blows up in their face. 6 people killed when a pedestrian bridge collapses in Miami, Florida. The picture you see here is 14-year-old Alyssa Oladef, honor student, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. So smart, she was able to skip Algebra 1. So good at soccer that at age 14, as a freshman, she was already captain of the girls' varsity soccer team. February the 13th, she played absolutely the best game of her entire life. The next day, 2:11 p.m., she was dead. Shot and killed by 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz. 6,279 people die every single day in this country. Young, old, rich, poor, male, female, famous, unknown, religious, atheist, car accident, heart attack, suicide, natural causes. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, as in Adam, all die. There are no exceptions. One of these days, you're going to die, my friend. And it may be a lot sooner than what you ever thought. And what hope do you have? More and more people today are being cremated when they die. And all kinds of companies right now are doing all kinds of funky things with the ashes. Right now there's a company called EcoUrn that will mix your ashes with potting soil in an urn that has a seed in it. So when you're planted in the ground, you'll grow up as a tree. There's a company called DNA to Diamonds that will take your ashes and turn them into a gemstone for a necklace or a ring. Guys, your wife does that with you, she really will have you wrapped around her finger. A company called Holy Smoke will take your ashes and mix it with gunpowder and bullets or shotgun shells. Well, what do you know? For years now, Sue's always been saying she wanted to shoot me. Maybe someday she'll get her chance to get away with it. Praise the Lord and pass the cremation ammunition. People have no hope for life after death. And I know there's somebody here in this saying, but Kevin, nothing happens after you die anyway. Really? How do you know that? Who told you that? Well, Kevin, you never died and found out. No, you never died and found out either. But see, I know somebody who did die and then came back from the dead to tell us all about it. And that's Jesus Christ. So I'll take Jesus' testimony over anybody else's word any day of the week. And Jesus says when we do die, there's only one or two places we can go. For us Christians who are trusting in Jesus Christ as our Savior, the very nanosecond we close our eyes in death, we will wake up in a paradise place called heaven in the presence of Jesus Christ, and we will be there forever or ever. And I'd be a liar if I stood up here on Easter Sunday and told you that there is no such place as hell, because there is. Hell is a place of suffering and punishment that also lasts forever and ever. Hell is a place for people who reject Christ. You say, well, Kevin, the Pope says there is no hell. Jesus says there is. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus said, don't be afraid of dying, but be very, very afraid of dying and going to hell. Well, Kevin, nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven. That's right. But you don't go to heaven just because you want to. The only way you get to heaven is by believing that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose from the dead for you to pay the price for your sin, and by accepting Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior and Lord. That's what Easter is really all about. And listen, don't you dare miss it. Don't you dare make the mistake that he made. Stephen Hawking out of Cambridge University was the greatest theoretical physicist since Albert Einstein. And the world called him a super mega genius. Stephen Hawking came up with theories about everything from black holes to parallel universes. Got really famous in 1988 with a book called The Brief History of Time. And then again in 2002 with another book called The Theory of Everything, where he tried to figure out how the entire universe was put together and what life was really all about. But Stephen Hawking would have never been famous at all if it wasn't for his disease. He was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, when he was only 21 years old and was only given 3 years to live. And as the condition got worse and worse, his motor function deteriorated to the point he was confined to a wheelchair. Got to the point the only way that he could communicate was by twitching one cheek muscle that activated a swift key laser system so that he could talk through a synthesized computer. And because of his theories and the way that Stephen Hawking dealt with his disease, the world treated him like a rock star. Trips to NASA, cameo appearances on The Big Bang Theory, voiceovers on two Pink Floyd albums, you name it. But see, there was a real dark side to Stephen Hawking too that most people don't know about. His first wife, Jane Wilde, was a born-again Christian who took care of him 24/7 and prayed to God that God would let him live a long time. And he did. And Stephen Hawking and his wife even had children together. But Stephen Hawking was so obsessed with finding the key to the universe, he totally neglected his wife and his children. And he was so horribly, verbally, and emotionally, and mentally abusive to his wife, she was this close to committing suicide before she divorced him in 1995. And then Stephen Hawking married another woman. And she divorced him 11 years later for exactly the same reason. Behind the scenes, Stephen Hawking was a real piece of work. But folks, even worse than that, as the years went by, Stephen Hawking got more and more atheist and more hostile to God, even though it was God who allowed him to extend his life. Here's just one of Stephen Hawking's famous quotes. There's a huge difference between religion that's only based on ignorance and science that's based on observation and reason. And science will always win and prove there is no God, because science always works and God never does. Folks, that's an absolute lie, because there are dozens and dozens of Nobel Prize-winning scientists who are also born-again, Bible-believing Christians who know that real science proves Christianity is true. Stephen Hawking obsessed and spent his entire adult life trying to find the key to the universe, and he never found it. And you know why? Because the key to the universe is God. There is a God out there in charge of everything and running everything. And Stephen Hawking turned his back on that over and over again. A God who designed and created this universe and personally entered into this universe through the person of his son Jesus Christ in order to save our souls. Now, sadly enough, Stephen Hawking died last March the 14th at the age of 76. Back in 2013, Stephen Hawking said this about the afterlife. There is no God and there is no afterlife or heaven and hell. God and heaven and hell are all just fairy tales for people who are afraid of the dark. And folks, I guarantee you one trillionth of a micron of a nanosecond after Stephen Hawking closed his eyes in death, he found out he was wrong. The world called Stephen Hawking a genius. Psalm 14 verse 1 calls him a fool. Stephen Hawking knew more about black holes than any person who ever lived. But he was dumb as a box of rocks about the one thing, the only one thing that mattered, and that's salvation in Jesus Christ. After Stephen Hawking died, President Obama said this, "Enjoy your trip among the stars." Folks, I guarantee you, unless Stephen Hawking had a last second come to Jesus moment, that is not where he is right now. As smart as he was, the Bible says real wisdom starts with knowing and fearing God. someone that Stephen Hawking purposely turned his back on over and over and over again. And because of that, he did the stupidest thing that anybody could ever do. He missed out on Jesus Christ. And as a result, he missed out on heaven too. But listen to me, you do not have to make that same mistake. The words you see there on the screen are the biggest reason why most people today do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's just not rational or scientific to believe that somebody can actually rise from the dead. But folks, the absolutely most irrational thing that you could ever do is reject God and sin against Him, like every single one of us has. Every one of us. And because that's a spiritual problem and not a physical problem, man and all of his wisdom and science and reason can't fix it. Only God can fix it. By sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on a cross for our sins and to rise from the dead to prove that it's all true. The absolute most irrational thing that you could ever do is reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and the only chance that you have to be saved. Absolutely everything about Christianity, everything about Jesus and salvation, all depends on one thing. Did Jesus Christ really come out of that tomb on the first Easter Sunday? If He didn't, just walk away and forget it. Nothing to see there. But if He did, and God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Himself and the empty tomb and hundreds of eyewitnesses and millions of people over the last 2,000 years whose lives have been changed by the power of Jesus Christ all testify that it is true. And if it really is true, you've got to do something about it. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ walked out of a tomb and eventually went to heaven. So that one day you could walk out of a tomb and go to heaven too. Today, Easter Sunday, right now, this service, you let Jesus Christ take your hand and take you along. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You so much that Your Word is true. Your Word not only tells us that Jesus died, rose again from the dead, it also tells us why. And it's all about us. It's about our salvation. It's about a right relationship with You. It's about having a brand new life. It's about conquering sin. I just pray, Lord, for one person listening to this message right now who does not know You as Savior. I pray, Lord, that they would just make that commitment to You today, confessing their sins and putting their faith in You. Absolutely no reason to go through life not knowing God or being close to Him. Just pray, Lord, You would accomplish that today by the power of Your Holy Spirit. All this we ask in Your name and thank You. Amen.